What's going on, Clippers fans?
Woo!
By the stone hands of Zubats, we are here.
I like that. It's like a mythical creature.
It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Wachler.
And we're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week.
Sometimes more.
Sometimes more with all the fresh Clippers content. Don't ever miss our live shows on Twitter ever again. It's at Locked On Clips, 1:45 p.m. every Tuesday. Check on there for updates because we might be coming at you again sometime this week.
Yeah, come through. Come hang out.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We got a recap of that loss to the Blazers last night.
Yeah, goofy, kind of a goofy game.
Real, lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
Lot of ups and downs. There was definitely some unpreventable things, I feel like, in the fourth, but...
We'll get to it.
We're going to get to that. today is Wednesday, which means what could have been Wednesday, or the Arrowel Universe, where we kind of talk about what could have happened if things turned out a little bit differently.
Mm.
Got a real recent one. This one pertains just to this season, really.
Yeah, there's only so many historical ones you can do.
Yeah, well...
There's only so many times the Clippers almost got Michael Jordan. Twice is how many...
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some general Clips talk. We'll talk a little bit about playoffs and seeding. And yeah, we'll go from there, guys. It's going to be great.
Let's get into it. So last night, the Clippers lost 125-104.
They did.
To a good Blazers team.
Oh, I mean, yeah. At the time, we were 5-6, I believe.
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. Right before the game, Gallo was ruled out.
Okay.
For precaution, it said it was rest, for precautionary rest. Then after the game, it was revealed that he twisted his ankle in the game on Monday, but that had nothing to do with him resting this game. So this poses a couple questions in my head. So if he didn't need the rest, would they have played him with his hurt ankle? But he did need the rest, just not because of his ankle.
It's very perplexing.
It seems odd. The injury info with this team is very weird this year.
Oh, agreed. Just because of the Luke stuff, mainly?
Yeah, and so as soon as Gallo was out, do you think this kind of shifted to a confirmed scheduled loss?
Yeah.
Because it kind of felt like that a little bit before, but that kind of put the nail in the scheduled loss coffin, it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, we did a preview of this game yesterday, and we did get a bunch of stuff right, but we had no clue that Gallo wasn't going to be there.
Yeah,
so
no one knew.
That definitely would have changed the outcome. But I don't know. It's worrisome. I guess it makes sense, resting Gallo on the second night of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams do it. It doesn't necessarily mean anything serious.
For sure.
Especially just given Gallo's history. I would much rather take the loss, even though it's against a Western Conference team and seeding is pretty important right now, than risk anything further. Even if there's nothing to be worried about.
For sure.
Why even take the risk?
Would you maybe have wanted to rest him Monday, though? Just because this was a conference game.
That's a fair point.
We do only play, we do not play until Friday. I don't know. I don't really know how I feel. I didn't want to just rest them on Friday because that defeats the purpose. We had the back-to-back, which is tough.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of like, I guess I wouldn't have mind taking a loss to the Celtics with no Gallo because that would have made sense.
Yeah.
But the play, I mean, we kind of needed the game, I guess, in terms of seeding.
Yeah,
that's kind of a perplexing.
It's just really a tough call. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could have rested him the first night against the Celtics. I just think that maybe they thought that the matchup against the Celtics would be a little bit easier.
True.
And he'd have a little bit, he could have a better game.
Yeah.
In that. I don't know. Really tough to call. I'm hoping that it's nothing more. I feel pretty confident because he wasn't, like, limping or anything.
Yeah, there was no... I went through and I was kind of looking, like, through the game thread of tweets from people, and there was never, like, a, oh, he pulled up.
Yeah, like, and he didn't rush through the tunnel or anything after the game. He talked to media both on court and, I'm sure, afterwards.
He was pounding his ankle with a hammer. I thought he was totally fine.
So, yeah, I don't know. I do believe that there could be some soreness. Maybe it was a thing, too, where... just in practice or shoot around or whatever, it was a little tender and they were like, just shut it down.
Just
like,
chill.
What's the point?
Yeah, that's a good call. Nevertheless, we persisted and lost. Some stats for you guys. Trez was our leading scorer with 22 and 11 boards.
Oh, yeah.
Lou was next with 18 points. Shea had 15 after 9 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Which was a little frustrating. Just the post first quarter production. Zubats with a double-double of 10 and 15. For the Blazers, McCollum absolutely killed us in the second half. He finished the first half with 3 points. and finished the whole game with 35.
Yeah.
Lillard had 20 and 12 assists. Nurk had 20 and 12 boards, including 7 offensive boards. This was kind of a... I watched the first half of this game, watched 3/4 of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't make it into the fourth. We were up by 2 at halftime.
Yeah.
But McCollum was 0 for 7.
Yeah, maybe he had a very slow night.
Yeah, Beverly played great defense on McCollum. McCollum mostly scored on everyone else.
Yeah. And if you watch, too, I know you didn't catch that fourth quarter, but Patrick Beverly was out for a large portion of it, and that's when McCollum was really getting hot.
Of course. Our starters got absolutely crushed in this game.
Yeah.
85-49.
It's not like so good.
We shot 39% compared to their 52%.
Yeah.
As a team, we shot 55% on threes, as the starters shot 55% on threes, but only took 9 total, 6 of which came from Landry Shamet.
Yeah, the attempts were way too low. We talked about that.
Oh.
We talked about that yesterday, and someone hit me with the league average, and we didn't hit that.
We didn't even come close to it.
Yeah, we hit half that.
We took 15 threes.
Yeah.
I was talking with a Step Back Tree, at Step Back Tree on Twitter, if you want to get at him. We are 7-20 on this season when we don't make 10 plus threes. Honestly surprised we won 7.
Yeah.
I'm surprised any team wins more than 5 games not making 10 threes in 2019.
How do you have a game where you don't take 10 threes?
I don't know. Make 10 threes, excuse me.
Make 10 threes. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
make 10
no, that'd
threes.
Be crazy. Yeah. And so, we shot great from the perimeter percentage-wise. I think we made like...
Our three-point percentage as a team was 60%.
Yeah, you make 60%, that's awesome. But on two-pointers, we went 31 of 80.
Yeah, 40%.
Yeah, it's just I don't understand what happens to the three-point line with this team.
Well, I mean...
Credit to the Blazers' defense, evidently.
I was going to say, it seemed like the Blazers did a better job, at least in that second half, of keeping us from really letting it fly. Obviously, not having Gallo is a detriment. I would have hoped Jamichael Green would have been able to space the floor out a little bit better. And he had a decent game. He finished with 9 points, 11 boards.
He was in place of Gallo. It seemed like he was kind of filling the, do-it-all role.
Yeah.
As opposed to the shooter role.
Yeah. And he played well. I mean, in 32 minutes, he did shoot 50% from three, but, he only took 2 attempts.
Yeah.
So I definitely would have liked to see that higher. I don't know. I think, especially towards the end, it did feel like we were settling for shots.
Just anything we could get.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And there were, some of that is definitely, we did have some bad luck shooting there. And there were some good looks thrown in there, but there was definitely kind of that feeling of anxiety that we talk about where possessions were definitely a lot less quality.
Yeah.
But, aside from the three-point shooting, the one just glaring issue to me.
You're running hot right now,
I'd can't
say.
Even look past it. Avisa Zubats.
Oh, yeah.
Missed 7 or 9 shots within 5 feet of the rim.
What did he went 4 of 15 or something?
He went
like that?
4 of 15.
He had if you look at just the numbers, just the points and the rebounds, you're like, wow, that's great. But if you watch the game, it felt like everything was bouncing off his hands.
Yeah.
I don't know what
And this isn't a new thing, and I do get that he's young.
Yeah.
But we've seen him be, inefficient around the rim, which is kind of what we need him for.
Yeah, when you're 7 feet tall, we need you to throw it down a couple times.
And the 10 boards are great. Don't get me wrong. He's been a great rebounder.
For sure.
But if we can't rely on him offensively, that puts so much more pressure on Trez, and it takes away the ability of being able to run a traditional center.
And everyone else on that starting 5.
Yeah.
Because, they obviously got killed this game. Yeah, the refs were really letting him play down low last night, it seemed like.
Yeah.
It seemed like he and Nurk both took a couple knocks that would have been fouls in other games. There were some times when Zubats... I hate to sound like Bill Walton, but I just want him to throw it down.
Yeah.
There were a couple where I was like, if Trez can battle down there and throw down power dunks, you should learn how to do that.
Well, we talked about this a little bit in the preview, but it had the atmosphere of a playoff game. There was obviously a lot at stake, and it was called as such.
I appreciated.
Absolutely. There was kind of a, there was a... I believe it was late in the fourth. turnover that essentially Trez down low, they were battling for a rebound, and he tapped Seth Curry's arm, and it caused the ball to go off Seth Curry's foot and out of bounds.
Yeah. Love
it. And we got the ball. We got possession on that one. So, it was great. And that was something that, like, maybe in a regular season thing, maybe you could get a little ticky-tacky.
Yeah.
Not really technically a foul, so they weren't going to waste time on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that's just one, like, that's more a more tiny example. But the whole vibe and, like, the intensity of this, I thought was really, really huge. That being said, though, are you a little bit surprised how much Damian Lillard just disappeared in the second half?
Yeah, but I think he was doing the friendly, I'm going to defer to CJ thing.
Yeah, which I think is once again...
Which is weird.
Which I think is once again, like, the reason these guys don't get out of playoff series.
Yeah, they need both.
It's like, your turn, my turn,
yeah,
your turn, my
work
turn.
Work together. Like, the assist numbers were great for him, too, but, I mean, you know, 20 and 12 assists, that's not bad at all.
No.
But, yeah, he really did kind of...
I'm just saying, like,
carried
in
the
fourth
weight
quarter,
in the first.
I couldn't tell if he was on the floor.
Yeah. I was like, is that Seth or Damian? Speaking of Trez.
No, if it was Seth, he'd be out there stroking threes.
Oh, we knew. we'll get into Seth Curry actually in the next segment. Trez really dragged this team back.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
He put the whole team on his back. We've seen it before. It was fantastic. No one else could really kind of match his. This was a game. I think the second night of back-to-backs are when it's very evident how much energy Trez brings.
I think
as opposed to just a singular game, because the second night of a back-to-back, Trez looks the same as the first night.
I think it's more indicative, too, of how much we have to rely on Lou. And on the second night of a back-to-back,
it's hard.
It just becomes much more apparent that he is closer to 35 than he is to 30, you know?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Which,
you can't blame him.
No. You absolutely can't blame him. And that's the thing that's so surprising, is in most regular games, man, I swear he's ageless. Like, it doesn't matter. But he seemed a little bit slower. He seemed to have, he didn't quite have that first, that, like, explosive first step that he can kind of have. And it just
looked
overall. Yeah, it just looked overall like, you know, he is a little tired.
Yeah.
And that'll happen, man, especially when you have almost back-to-back 40-point nights.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 40 and what, 34?
40 and 34, yeah.
It's crazy. And I think the tiredness was really evident in the second half. So especially the fourth quarter. The second half, they shot 58% to our 40%,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is bad. In the fourth quarter, they shot almost 60% to our 33%.
Yeah, it was wild.
The fourth quarter was 40-20 in favor of the Blazers.
Yeah.
Which, in a game that ended in, what did we lose by, 21, you know, that's brutal.
It's super brutal. And CJ McCollum, I mean, all credit, dude.
Dude,
he stepped
out.
Up.
That was crazy.
Yeah, he really stepped up. He went 8 of 9, including 4 for 4 from 3. In the fourth quarter alone, 23 points and 2 boards.
I believe he went 8 of 9 in the fourth, and as a team, we only made 8 shots.
Yeah, yeah. There was like I think in that fourth quarter, I want to say it was something like a 24. I feel like it was so low. They went on like a 24-8 run at one point.
Ugh.
And it was not so good.
I'll say one bright spot. There were a couple bright spots, but, you know, scheduled loss, what are you going to do? Wilson Chandler, it was nice to see him have kind of a productive-ish night
mm-hmm.
playing with these guys. 6 and 5 with 2 of 4 shooting from beyond the arc. Had the second best defensive rating on the team. It was 127, but it was the second best. but like if he can kind of bring that consistent 6-5, maybe a little more than that, that's going to go so far in the playoffs.
I agree. And just his presence. He's another one of those
good
guys
leader.
Who, when we talk about things getting angsty, he's a guy who, like, he's been in playoff situations. The guy's a consummate professional.
Yeah.
He can keep his composure. And I think that is infectious to people around him.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we have some solid vets on that second unit, but there are also guys who I think are eager to maybe overexert their role, or maybe are trying a little bit too much when they need to just settle into what they're good at.
Yeah, for sure. And it seemed like Jermichael Green, I don't want to say he was doing too much. He was doing a lot, which was
good. He had to.
But he had to do a bunch. There was this outlet pass he hit to Shea that was like, it gave Shea a very clear drive to the rim. He ended up missing the layup, which sucked. But he threw this outlet pass, and it was just like this light switch went on my brain that was just like, oh, this is going to be fantastic in the playoffs. having a guy that big who can hit that outlet pass and just immediately get the fast break offense going.
Shea had this great assist where it was like a drop pass, but he curved his arm around a defender before they both went out of bounds.
What do you think happened with Shea in terms of his, I mean, he was killing it in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroying. And then he just kind of got phased out by the defense. I wasn't really sure.
He got blocked, and I do think that like will rattle his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't get a whole lot of opportunities to take shots. I was kind of surprised. He ended up playing a total of like 5 minutes. He played almost half of that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I really think we would have been better served by giving Patrick Beverley some more of those minutes, because Patrick Beverley played less minutes, about a minute less than Shea did in the fourth. And I think Beverley was the guy that we needed.
Yeah, he was having a rough offensive night, though.
I understand that, but like it was just apparent that CJ wasn't going to slow down.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't do that. Maybe run Shea next to Pat, but I mean, like, Lou Will is our fourth quarter guy. You know?
Yeah.
He's our fourth quarter guy. He's always going to play probably the most minutes of any guard in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was unclear at times why Shea was out there so long in the fourth.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know, that's generally the opposite of my
yeah,
general
for
reaction.
Sure.
But, yeah, it was just, it seemed like, you know, clearly a matchup had been working really, really well.
Stick to it.
Yeah, and maybe maybe you're worried about injury, maybe this, maybe that. But I just think that was the right move, was to have had Patrick Beverley play more of those minutes, and maybe have Shea have a lesser role in that fourth.
It's like you're William the opposite up deck right now.
What?
Anyway, tough schedule last. We got a couple days to kind of stew over this. We play again on Friday, so the rest will be good. Coming up after this, we got a pretty current what could have been Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
But first, guys, if you're following multiple Locked On Network podcasts, mm-hmm. which you absolutely should be.
Oh, yeah.
You need to check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. If
Do
Instagram
it.
Still exists, because it's down.
Oh, yeah,
right
everything's
now.
Down today.
Not
Twitter, though. Not
Twitter. Still on there. Locked
never
On
lost.
Net. Never lost. Twitter's undefeated. It aggregates all the feeds from all the podcasts into one. It's great. On Instagram, you get the story, so you kind of get one-minute little clips from your favorite hosts. Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, so you came up with this one.
Yes, I did.
Like it.
Bit of a spicy one. So, what could have been Wednesday? Welcome, first of all, Arlo Universe.
Hello.
That's how they talk in the Arlo Universe. So, Luka Baumute is probably going to be shut down for the rest of the year. That's kind of what the reports have been saying. He's just not going to be able to play the rest of the year.
He's missed
66 games.
We talked about this, I believe, yesterday, and I was like, at this point, 13 games left.
What's the point?
What is the point?
So,
and if he's been this injured the whole time,
also,
what can he possibly even be bringing to the game?
Also, you know what I'd like to give a wag of the finger to the Clippers medical staff for not having more adjectives for the word sore. I want some more creativity than sore left knee. You know?
That's fair.
Give me, you know, agonizing left knee pain.
Can't you just say like herniated blood vessel for a bruise?
For a bruise, yeah. Excruciating ligament damp or something like that. Anyway, so the what could have been is what could have been if we didn't sign Luka Baumute?
Yeah.
We use the MLE on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's only making $4.3 million this season. In this scenario, let's assume we still have signed Mike Scott, who is also around $4.3 million.
Okay.
Obvious answer to me.
DeMarcus Cousins?
Seth Curry.
Seth Curry. All right.
No, that would have been too many guards, but we maybe could have gotten rid of Milos. Seth Curry is on the MLE. Or he's making less, I think. He's making like $2 million.
Is he?
Pretty sure. I checked on the basketball reference. Giant list of contracts.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so it's like it just seems like a wasted roster spot.
I agree. And
for a G League guy to come up, maybe. Boogie, like you just said?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, could have gotten Boogie on the MLE. I mean, he wouldn't have wanted to come here. He wants to go to a team that's going to win a championship. And
yeah. Maybe Boogie. Seti Osman.
Oh, yeah. Was he available?
Yeah. He got signed on the MLE. And then Nerlens Noel, who's just on the minimum right now.
I think that would have been a great pickup.
Nerlens Noel would be...
You and I talked about... We talked about Alex Len. We talked about Nerlens Noel.
Oh,
I was
Alex Len. Don't even get me started.
Going into the summer last year, at the end of the season, I mean, I made the bold claim that was clearly, like, it clearly didn't happen, but I said I would be shocked if Nerlens Noel wasn't in a Clippers uniform.
Yeah. It would have been great. I mean, he's making less money than Luka Mbamute.
Yeah.
And he's contributing.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some games where, to me, he's looked really, really good.
Yeah, and his defense would be great. So here's an interesting one. We wouldn't have been able to sign Mike Scott, too. Julius Randle is at $8 million a year right now. He has a player option for next year, so I'm not sure if that would have been doable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's frustrating. It's one of the more, maybe the most frustrating, I think, roster situation we've had all year, which has been a fantastic year for roster turnover and new guys fitting in well.
Agreed.
But this is just like, it seems like kind of a whiff.
It seemed, I mean, to be honest, I was like, I mean, I was obviously excited, but I was a little bit, there was some trepidation with which I approached this, like, announcement.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we saw what happened to Luke last year. I don't need to bring it up. I feel like I'm always talking about it on this podcast, but like.
Even off the podcast.
Even off the podcast. It's always Mbamute.
Coworkers.
Mbamute on the brain. And, you know, it just was clear that his game, like, injury had already limited his game in a way that's harder to recover from when you're older. And that was even before the knee thing. Like, we were worried about a shoulder thing.
Yeah, this is a new thing.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you think it's, like, a degenerative knee issue?
No
idea.
Like,
it just keeps getting worse? I just don't. The lack of info, again, sore left knee.
Yeah.
For 64 games or whatever it's been.
Yeah, it's very puzzling. And we've seen him a couple of times. Like, we've seen him
in
the locker room.
We've seen him in warm-up clothes shooting around.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't remember what game it was. I think it was the, I can't remember what game it was that we had press passes for. But Doc was like, oh, yeah, next week.
Yeah. I think that was
right before the
All-Star
break.
That was, like, before the All-Star break, yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah, after the break, he's going to be practicing. And it was, at one point, it was thought that he was maybe going to come back before Wilson Chandler.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish the spot would have been used for a G League guy.
I don't think that would have been helpful. We just already have enough, like, two-way guys and those kind of G League guys.
I mean, bring the guy up and just have him play. You know what I'm saying? Like, just have that. It's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Everyone on Clipper Nation on Twitter is very frustrated about it. Everyone's just like, why do we even?
Yeah, I don't quite see what the point was. Obviously, you know, I think Doc is a fan of him, and they thought he was a guy. You know, on paper, he's a guy who does fit in with the chemistry of
this
team.
He helps our team. And I'm sure locker room presence, he's fantastic. He's a consummate professional.
Yeah.
He understands how to play the game, understands how to move as a professional.
And he can space the floor. He's a great defender.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. But I just wish there maybe would have been a little bit more thorough. I don't even know if thought is the right thing.
Yeah,
but like a little bit more thorough of an examination into what his status was athletically.
The sore left knee.
Yeah.
I hope he gets better.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, but he won't, you know. There's no way that he plays this season.
Wow, you're saying no way.
There's no way that he plays this season.
Smash cut to game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't think he does.
I just don't see it.
He'd have to get into game shape so quick for playoffs.
He hasn't been practicing with the team.
Yeah. Yeah, game shape for the playoffs, which
and
is what's tough too.
He's got a month.
Oof. I don't know, man.
I don't see it.
Could have had Seth Curry.
Could have, man. What could have been?
Man, if you guys missed that live stream, we did a real deep dive on Seth Curry when Avery Bradley was ruining our team and
was still stinking of his spot on the roster.
The results were shocking.
I would still rather have two Luke Mbamutes on the roster than one Avery Bradley.
One Avery Bradley. Two 130 games missed is worth one Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
guys, that's been the Arlo universe. You know, I guess. Coming up after this, we're talking some playoff seeding, but first,
the first week of the NCAA tournament. It's the greatest betting event of the year.
Yeah,
did you know this?
People love it.
So whether you're filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first round upsets, or a little bit of all the above.
Hopefully all of the above if you fill up your whole bracket.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to fill out a bracket and not pick a champion. Everyone wins in my eyes.
Well, in any event, MyBookie is the place for all your March Madness fun. Will Duke end up winning a title? I mean, probably not, but you could bet on it. Can Virginia get past its losses to a 16 seed last year? Maybe.
Maybe.
And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? Who the heck knows? But if you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie's the place to get in on the action.
Ooh.
They've got something for everyone. Even you, multiple bracket guy. That's Charles.
I do one bracket.
So yeah, bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in.
Cash that in, baby.
And if you deposit with MyBookie today with promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% sign-up bonus, that's promo code LOCKEDON, you get a sign-up bonus. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Get that cash. So welcome to Clips Talk. I guess the whole thing is Clips Talk, but that's what we call the segment where you don't really have anything too specific to talk about. Do you think this team cares about playoff seeding right now?
Yes.
In what sense?
They don't want eight.
They don't want eight? Yeah. I just think anything other than eighth.
I think anything other than eighth. I mean, if they had their druthers, six would probably be ideal.
Yeah.
But
you say if they had their druthers?
Yeah.
Wow, well done.
But I think that they even have a fighting chance against seven, or at least could take a couple of games.
Yeah.
At the seven seed, I just don't think anybody really wants the eight.
I think
of all the teams that are like currently left in this 6-7-8 kerfuffle.
Yeah. Hullabaloo.
Yeah, hullabaloo. The Jazz are the most interesting team probably to play the Warriors just because of their lockdown defense and the amount of length that they have.
Yeah.
I think would be really, pretty troubling. Yeah. It'd be at least irritating.
Theoretically. I actually don't think we care about seeding at all.
Really?
I think the season is a success.
The season is a success.
And the playoffs, given, I don't know, maybe Gallo's ankle situation, they might just, I'm not trying to say they don't want to win in the first round of the playoffs.
That's what it sounds like. Sounds like Chuck's ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah, I'm ready to toss it in. But I don't think they're putting too much of a premium on, I don't think Doc is putting enough thought in to try and dodge anybody.
That is 100% true. Their mentality is just to win every game.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked to them before, like in the locker room. Nobody looks at the standings, supposedly.
Yeah.
Which I find hard to
believe.
I never
believe that.
I do not believe in the slightest.
As a professional athlete myself, I'm always looking at the stats and the standings.
But I do think that they're just taking it game by game. However, I think that it would be, you know, like the biggest argument for us to like, you know, make the playoffs and forfeit our pick and everything is to get these young guys playoff experience.
Yeah.
You get more experience if you play more games than four.
I agree. I don't think we're getting swept. I don't think we're getting swept.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I mean, I think we could take one off the Warriors.
I think we can take one off the Warriors. And I think every other team we could maybe take two or three from.
Yeah.
And if we kind of keep peaking, you know, because we end the season on kind of...
And this is all reliant on health.
Absolutely. And depending on how we finish the season, I think our last two games were like the Warriors and the Jazz, which sucks.
Yeah. And if Luke Richard and Mbamute returns, as you've promised he will,
yes,
before the end of the season,
I prophesized.
That's probably four games off of a first round
yeah.
team.
But I think, I just think it's a thing where we can take one off the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone else, I think it's not a large chance for an upset, but it definitely is a meaty chance. The upset is there.
Yeah.
It's not low-hanging fruit, but maybe it's like stepladder fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just got to get on top of that. Just reach a little bit. I think it's possible. We got about a minute and a half left. What do you think teams are going to do to shut us down in the playoffs?
Other than
exactly what Portland did last night.
Yeah.
Which
I think
is the move.
I think that's kind of the blueprint. Obviously, the team was tired, so I think that that'll help us. I think that they're going to put a lot of pressure on the young guys.
Yeah.
Especially...
Make Shamit win it for us.
Yeah. Make those guys do stuff. I think that they're going to put... They're going to put bigger guys on Lou Will, not like big, but like kind of more tweener guys.
More physical guys, I think.
Yeah, more physical kind of tweener guys.
Because if you can tire him out physically, you know, that's a big blow to us.
Definitely. And then, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's that. I think it's just forcing us into long twos.
And forcing us into long twos. And then the other thing just to think about is that, you know, I mean, it's pretty apparent that like, running through like the 12 deep that we have,
Yeah.
That's like really, you know, shored up. They're not going to get as much time to play against second unit guys.
Yeah, good call.
You know, these teams that have a starting five that's like five all-stars or three
yeah.
could be all-stars or, you know, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys will play 40 minutes.
For sure.
I think that that's going to be the other blueprint is just, they're gonna make our bench have to step up to, you know, a starting unit as well as like just bench players.
And we can,
and I think that they're capable of that. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, for sure, it's just gonna be hard.
It's just a different game.
We can get into this more tomorrow. I also think we might see the 3-guard lineup could be exposed in the playoffs, but we'll get into that tomorrow for you guys. We're gonna have some Thirsty Thursdays tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what we want to see more of. General NBA scuttlebutt.
As always.
As always. If you're listening, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Please review us on iTunes, subscribe, do whatever you got to do. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.